This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Sunday, October 13, 2024, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'll be going on about something to speak about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. I'm making another point, and I'll just throw that out. It's sort of a given. There is a difference, apples and oranges, between knowledge and wisdom. How are they different? Today, in the readings, we see the difference between the two. The first reading today, King Solomon, identified by the Holy Spirit in Scripture as the wisest man who has ever lived. This is Solomon. He says, I called upon God, and the spirit of wisdom came upon me. That's not the only thing that he asked for. The first verse is that he asked for knowledge, and it was given him. And then he asked for wisdom. This definitively gives us the understanding that the two are separate. And it's interesting, when you look at it, he asked for knowledge, it's given him, period. Nothing else said. And then he's given wisdom, and he starts making over wisdom. It's more precious than gold. It's more precious than silver. It's more precious than sight. It's more precious than beauty. On and on and on, how important and how glorious wisdom is. It shows us a differentiation. That it's not that knowledge is bad, it's wisdom is so much better. Why? What is knowledge? Knowledge is, by definition, theological definition, to have a right judgment about things in the world. We all have a base knowledge of things in this world. Okay, it's how we live. We understand we have to eat and all the other things, all these basic facts of life. And then as we grow older, we generally will start following a path in certain categories of knowledge. There are some people who are doctors. There are some people who are tradesmen. They foster and gain knowledge of things in this world. This is knowledge. It has to do with temporal things. It's good. The more you have, the better. So it's not a matter of wisdom's good, knowledge is bad. Knowledge is necessary. It's great. The more you have of it, the better off you are. Wisdom. Wisdom is to have a right knowledge and judgment of things divine. Things about God, holy things. This is the marked difference between the two. One is a good judgment and understanding of things in this world. The other is a right judgment of things of the next. This is why it is so very, very important. This is our Lord's emphasis in the gospel today. We'll get into that because that's very practical. And from a theoretical standpoint, those two definitions are the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom presupposes faith. There are people, and it's interesting that knowledge even applies to things of the faith. There are a ton of people who can tell you about the commandments. There are a ton of people who can tell you this, that, or the other fact of Bible history, this, that, or the other thing. And it's kind of interesting. They know all these facts, but they're not Catholic, which is a sign of wisdom. A sign of wisdom being that we do what our Lord says, like be a member of the church that he established. That's a sign of wisdom. Contrasting with knowledge, wisdom presupposes faith. And what our Lord Jesus Christ says, in everything. For instance, like we just went through several weeks of John chapter 6, when our Lord emphasizes the, it's a necessity for you eat to you to eat his flesh and drink his blood. It is absolutely necessary for eternal life. And then you got a bunch of people who have a lot of knowledge of things scriptural and things like that, who deny outright that you eat the flesh and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That comes from wisdom. That's why we understand differently than they do. It's not that we have more knowledge of them, because unfortunately, and I must cast this stone at Catholics, most Protestants can dominate you on what they know about Scripture. Absolutely dominate you. And that's a sad thing, because we're the ones who said what Scripture is, and our people don't know it. That's a shame. But again, it shows that knowledge of that does not necessarily mean wisdom, because there's a bunch of people who are not the, let us just say, the sharpest when it comes to biblical exegesis, but they're still in Catholic churches and they still truly believe that they're receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're wise. Not anything in and of themselves. Wisdom is not a natural condition. It is not natural state for us. This is why Solomon had to ask for it. It's not natural. It's a grace, and it presupposes faith. And where does faith start? Your baptism. Baptism, you get those three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity infused into you. Faith needs to be there, presupposing wisdom. There is none without faith. So when we understand this, we start to see proofs of whether or not we're working on the wisdom thing. When we understand wisdom, again, the proofs, one of the things that we have to understand about it is, again, not just that we don't have it, but we don't have it, and the absence of it is to remain in darkness. This is the first and foremost proof that you have started to work on this wisdom thing. And that is understanding that you're a sinner, and that after your baptism and the rest of your life in this world, you are in this flesh and you're going to be tempted and led a lot of times by concupiscence, the desires of what you want, fleshly desires, prideful desires, things like that. When you come to the realization of that, you're like, man, I can't get myself into heaven. I need somebody else to do it. Jesus Christ. And he is the way, the truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. Wisdom tells it, okay, that's where I need to put my eggs. In that basket right there. Not in some world religion and all this kind of stuff and everything. In Jesus Christ to get into heaven. This is the beginning of wisdom. Because we start to fear the Lord. We start to understand and appreciate the fact that we don't get into heaven without him. We need to understand this. We need to understand that the more wise we become, the more we should be aware of our sinfulness, the darkness of our souls, how prone we are to do what we want as opposed to what God wants. When you come to that, that is the first thing. I feel so bad about myself. Good. Excellent. That means you're working on wisdom. People that walk around, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. That's a bold-faced satanic lie. Nobody's okay. Jesus makes everybody okay. This is wisdom. When we understand these things, we start to understand that we need to cultivate this wisdom. It is a grace, and like any other grace, I don't know why some people, they view graces as, you know, by all thrown out, you know, analogy of the little baby birds with their mouth open and get things dropped in their mouth. That's not how grace works. It is not like standing in a shower and things just come down from heaven and just soak you. And that is not grace. Graces are tools. Graces are tools for you to use. And if you don't use them, they are worthless. Absolutely worthless. We need to cultivate wisdom. It's fleeting. Can be fleeting. We'll see that practically in a couple seconds. But it is not something, oh, I'm wise, I'm good. No, you're not. It's like saying, I'm baptized, I'm good. No, you're baptized, you can be good, but you're not good until the Lord looks at you at the judgment seat and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the kingdom of heaven that has been prepared for you since before the foundation of the world. That's when you know that you're good. Our Lord Jesus Christ has said that in the gospel. Good master, why you call me good? Only good God, Jesus is making a point. Why you call me good? You should, because only one that's good is God, him. We need to understand these things. This shows wisdom, just not knowledge. We cultivate our wisdom by prayer, by fidelity to the graces that our Lord gives us, to humility. Humility is huge. Humility is absolutely huge. One of the huge objective proofs of wisdom is when you start understanding that you are not all that in a bag of chips. You're not going to get into heaven just because you're all that and great. This is something that is earned. It is something that is cultivated. This is our faith. There are grades to wisdom. Not everybody gets the same amount. And that's part of the humility thing. We live in this egalitarian world. And egalitarianism is tremendously prideful, if you really look at it. Egalitarianism is prideful because everybody's the same. No, they're not. That's such a ridiculous statement, just objectively. I mean, you can even discuss with the pagan. Everybody's not equal. And the scriptures themselves tell us that the Holy Spirit will give graces as he will, to whom he will, and the amount that he will. Everybody doesn't get the same. The bishop should be more wise than me. And he has always proved that he is. Why? Because he's the bishop. He needs to be more wise than me. I don't need to be as wise as him. I don't run a diocese. I worry about these little four walls here. That's it. I get that much wisdom. That's all I need. Because if I had more, I would get puffed up with that. You got to be a very special person when people pay attention to you and not to think something about, when I was in seminary, one of our professors loved it. One of those keeper remarks that somebody made, he goes, you guys got to watch out. He goes, we put you up in front of people. We put lights on you. We give you microphones and then we tell you to be humble. That can be difficult. So you get wisdom and it's usually by way of little trials and little chastisements here and there where you're proven that you're not all that wise. And then the reality strikes and you in your humility go, thank you for that lesson. So wisdom, there are grades. At the end of the day, all these theoretical things that we talked about up to this point, you can put it in a nutshell. Wisdom is looking at things from God's viewpoint. The more wise we get, the more we look at things through God's viewpoint and not our own. We look at the deposit of the faith and what God has revealed to us, and we conform, as hard as it is for us, to conform what we understand and what we've experienced and all this kind of stuff with what the Holy Spirit has taught through the church. This is being wise, seeing things through God's point of view. And when we do that, and if we maintain that and we're consistent in that, it actually causes a divine delight to desire more of this wisdom. And again, like I said, it's cultivated by prayer, asking for it. You've got some, or you wouldn't be sitting here right now. I don't say that to puff you up. That's just true. Because there's billions of people that are not worshiping God right now. And that's a problem. That is unwise not to worship him on the day that he commands that he be worshiped. But there are billions of people out there who are not doing it. You are wise because you are here. We want to increase that wisdom by being here and learning more and more about our faith. So this is the theoretical behind the whole thing. But you look at the gospel today, you see a very practical manifestation of something. And it talks about the grades of wisdom. It talks about knowledge. It speaks of the fleeting nature and how wisdom works. This man who comes up to our Lord, you know, a lot of times you hear, the Pharisee sent a guy to test our Lord and to ask him some question. This is not one of those people. This guy is a man of faith. He has knowledge. He knows the commandments. He's wise. He's applied those commandments according to him. And Jesus did not say that he didn't. He comes up to our Lord. And this is how much faith is. So he's got the faith that is presupposed with wisdom. He comes up to our Lord Jesus Christ and kneels in front of him. He kneels before our Lord. We only kneel before God. He's the only one that deserves that. This man knows who Jesus is. Gets on his knees. Lord, how do I inherit everlasting life? That shows wisdom. That remark shows wisdom. He has faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ knows what he needs to get into heaven. And he asks the Lord for more. Okay, I've done all these things, but I am convicted that doing these things does not get me everlasting life. Lord, how do I get everlasting life? Our Lord, follow the commandments. Again, demonstrating that the man knows and has applied wisdom, the commandment, I have done these since my youth. Our Lord, the searcher of hearts, knows his individual issue. There is one thing lacking. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Okay. All of a sudden, problem. This guy's got knowledge, he's got wisdom, and then as he's trying to deepen his faith, he hits a wall. What would be the wise move when the Lord of glory tells you to sell all that you have and follow him so you can go to heaven? What would be the wise move? Okay, and do it. What happens? He goes away sad. Notice, and again, I always say, pay attention to the words in Scripture. It just doesn't say he went away. He went away sad. Why is he sad? He knows he's making an unwise choice. The Lord of glory just told him how to get into heaven. He's like, I'm not going to do that. He's showing a very unwise option. This is the nature of wisdom. Just because you have it doesn't mean you will always use it. This is, that's scripture. That's a story from the Bible. I see it all the time. I see it all the time when people are confronted with temptation to this world. They are very faithful Catholics. And I mean that in all sincerity. They're very faithful Catholics. And all of a sudden they're confronted with a new temptation that they never thought they might be confronted with. And they fold. They look at that temptation. They go, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but okay. And they do. All of a sudden you're separated from the grace of Christ. When you're separated from the grace of Christ, the grace is no longer flow, including wisdom. So you separated yourself from wisdom. You made an unwise choice, and we have a chance. We have all kinds of chances. If we have wisdom and we're getting into stuff for a while and we go to the confessional, that's a wise move and it's not restored the way it was, but the conduit of grace, and you can start from that point on and move forward. This is the story in the gospel, but it's a story that's very, very practical. And each and every one of us can sit in here and think about a time in life when you're confronted with some kind of situation and you made an unwise choice. Sometimes it's really subtle, like saying things that you thought about for a couple of seconds. You didn't, I shouldn't really say this, but, okay, and you justify and you excuse things. And all those things are, I always say, if you got to justify or excuse something, don't do it. Because you don't have to justify or excuse righteousness, ever. And so if you got to justify or excuse something, you're either not sure, which is like the best case scenario, or you know it's wrong, which is unfortunately generally what goes on. I know that I'm not supposed to do this, but this is why, because we look at things myopically. This is what this guy did that came to our Lord. Everything's about this world. You know, I can have faith, I can have it, but when it comes down to brass tacks, the things of this world are more important than everlasting life. My riches are more important than everlasting life. We learn that lesson from him, and then Peter, his follow-up. We get there. Who can be saved? With God, nothing is impossible. But then he goes on, again, Peter being Peter, Lord, we've left everything for you, because they sit there and listen to what our Lord said. We've left everything for you. And our Lord responds, Does he say, no, you haven't? Or does he say, I know you have? No, he doesn't. Just lets Peter talk, like usual. He lets Peter talk, and then he responds, if you have anyone, not you, if anyone has left father, mother, all the stuff, things in this world, for the gospel and my sake, you will receive in this world blessings, temporal blessings, with persecutions. Everybody like to skip over that part right there, with persecutions. You're going to have some good stuff, but you're going to have trouble also. And then everlasting life. Keep your eyes on everlasting life, Peter. Peter drops the ball, of course. As we all know, the little girl complains that he was with Jesus. No, I wasn't. Denial. And so this man who's hearing this lesson, he's going to go off on his own, do what he wants to do because he's scared, because he doesn't want to lose his life in this world. Our Lord is teaching a very, very, and it's a hard lesson. He's teaching this guy that came up to him and Peter that here in this world, there is no end game. There is no end purpose in this world. Everything in this world is fleeting. Everything. No matter what it is. People, situations, they are all fleeting. Everything in this world. The only thing that has a proper end is heaven. This is St. Thomas Aquinas. Nothing is good unless it leads you to heaven. So all these people, well, you know, I know he's a pagan, but he gives all kind of money to charities and stuff. So he's a pretty good guy. No, he's not, because all that money he's given to charity is not going to get him into heaven. Only Jesus Christ gets you into heaven, and faith in him, and the worship of him, obedience to him. So just because you do certain things, it might even be, from a knowledge standpoint, a good thing. But at the end of the day, it's not spiritually a good thing, because it doesn't lead you to heaven. Wisdom shows that no matter what goes on, we should have our eyes focused above. How providential. In the end of this last week, I was dumbfounded when I opened the missal and saw what the introit was today. At this Mass, it's sung, and whenever things are sung, you don't really kind of get the force of what is said. But the introit today, and it's from Daniel chapter 3, after this week, a wise person can say this: all that thou hast brought upon us and everything that thou hast done to us, thou hast done in true judgment. In true judgment. You need to unpack that at the end of this week. Only a wise person can be. I can guarantee you, rarely can I say guarantee, I can guarantee you that in the central part of this state, this past week, there were more prayers that were said than have been said in the past 10 years. Okay? What? People who know that there's a God, they know there's a God, might be the big man upstairs, and I never go to church or anything, but I know there's a God, and I know that, man, I'm looking at some badness, I'm going to call on him. St. Ambrose says, God opens the heart by trials. You think about your own life, you know, like the past week. But every time that something really bad's happened, you think somebody's going to die. You think you might die. Oh my gosh, the prayers are just unceasing. Unceasing. That's right. If people read the scriptures when everything's going on, prayer without ceasing. Nobody can do that. Yeah, let something bad going on in your life. I mean, really bad. I'll show you all kind about prayer without ceasing. And if you're not praying, you're on the horn with other people asking them to pray for you. Okay, why? God opens the heart by trials. This is the reality. And when we look at things in this world, it just, well, I didn't do anything. Well, come to the office. I beg to differ. Okay, we'll kind of hash that out. I mean, most people think they haven't done anything really big or anything. They don't deserve the hurricanes. We so deserve it. We so deserve it. I don't deserve. Yeah, you do. Yeah, I'll tell you what you deserve. You deserve the thing to not go down past Category 5. It should have jacked up to that hypothetical Category 6 and, like, hovered over the state for a month as a Category 6. All right, that's what we deserve. We deserve that happens until every psychic reader in every place that's Wiccan up in Talladega or Casadega. You know, Talladega is the racetrack. Casadega, where the witches hang out. You know, as soon as that, yeah, that's leveled. As soon as every rainbow flag that's flying on a business around here is cast 100 miles out into the sea, that's what you deserve. And you deserve them to be lined up out in the Gulf. And when the one's gone, the next one should come in to make sure the clean house is great. This is what we deserve. This is God's judgment. Those things are vile, horrible sins that I just mentioned, not to mention all other kind of stuff. We deserve it. And a wise person goes, God will not be mocked. I've read that. God will not be mocked, and we mock him by doing all these things. We mock him. We don't take things seriously. So Daniel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all that has been brought upon us, thou hast done in true judgment. That's an indication of wisdom. When you can look at the stuff that went on this week and how much you prayed and the mercies of God, you see both things. You see his judgment, you see his mercy. You see both equally. And if you appreciate that, you're wise. If you sit back and go, I don't deserve this. I didn't deserve without power for 2 days. Oh, how much more? How much more you deserve? A wise person understands this. This is what we got to work on. Can't be myopic about these things. Again, we are. We look at things in this world like they're the end-all be-all, including our life. It's a sad thing. Everything in this world, whether it's a circumstance or a person, is going to end in this world. End of this week. We're all sitting here today. Everybody, most people got power back. Okay, so we didn't have any, not anybody, nobody in this parish reported being injured in this whole thing. So Milton is over for us. It's over for everybody. It's over for us in a very positive manner. But there are a lot of people, it's over because they have dead to bury. Because that killed people. It killed several people. And families have lost loved ones because of that storm. It's over for them too, just in a completely different way. But that makes the point that everything ends here. The human life is like, you know, that's our end-all be-all, human life. And think about the person you love most in this world. Guess what? I'm never going to be sad. I love that person so much, I'm never going to be without them. Until you or they die. And guess what? It's a definite. God is showing us that we cannot put our eggs in any basket except his. This is the reality of wisdom. If we ask for it and cultivate it, we will maintain it. If we take it for granted, and we've had a bunch of it up to this point, you could be like that guy who does something and goes away sad. We need to be attentive to the reality of not only the grace of wisdom, but also the nurture of that grace. Second reading today from Hebrews. Let us hold fast to our confession. What is our confession? That if we have faith and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe in his name, that we will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you really believe that, if you really believe that life, you have life everlasting, what difference does anything else make? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.